Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jared, we were just talking about a lot of rest here between games two and three, Tuesday to Saturday. So it seemed like the Cavs, especially LeBron, maybe a little tired, maybe because they hit in the head. Who knows? Second half, game two, no excuses. Everybody should be fresh and ready to go for this game, right?
Man, I'm expecting a big game three for LeBron, right? I mean, this is the moment, big stage, back home. Can't go down 0-3. No one's come back from 0-3 in NBA history. So the big thing is the role players. You know, it's interesting. You look at the Celtics, how they're playing with Rozier, with Tatum, Brown, Marcus Smart. They're doing such a great job with penetration early in the shot clock. They're not holding the ball very long. They're catching it, penetrating right away, creating a lot of good spacing, great kick-out opportunities. Al Horford doing a great job as the point forward, point center. So can Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, Kyle Korver, other guys, can they really make plays off the dribble quickly to really put the defense on their toes as far as the Celtics goes? Because right now they're holding the ball a little too long. LeBron's doing a lot of work, but, you know, Clarkson, Rodney Hood, those two guys, they were traded for a reason to really make plays off the dribble. They're young, get into the basket. I haven't seen much of that at all, so it's very important to get those guys going to complement LeBron. Basically, you know, he's on his own island right now. That can't happen throughout this whole series. LeBron might have a big game three, but who else is going to step up for him?
Jared, nothing we saw in the first couple of games should give us confidence going into game three, except for the fact that the Celtics have been not as good on the road, and we still have LeBron James. How quickly can this series turn?
Well, the biggest thing, like I said, I think it's the team play here in this series. I think what's happening is that a lot of it is the youth factor with the Celtics. You know, Jaylen Brown's 21, Tatum's 20, Marcus Smart, all their guys, Terry Rozier's 24. So they have a lot of youth, and they're really playing up to that speed. So to answer your question, can the Cavs make up with that lack of, I guess, youth to make up with the speed and control the pace in this series? So right now, it's LeBron in the half-court offense doing his thing. Kevin Love is hitting some shots, but beyond that, they're not finding a lot of good pace and flow and really rhythm. The Celtics are commanding that on their defensive stops. The Cavs are shooting very low percentage-wise from three, you know, 15% in game one. In the Raptors series, they were shooting 45%. So they were controlling the pace, the rotations on the ball movement. But the Celtics, you know, they've been doing that on their end. Can the Cavs make up that ground and do that? So that's a big question I have in game three, looking ahead of the series.
We're talking with NBA insider Jared Zwirling. Jared, you know, to go to the Warriors-Rockets for a minute, there's, you know, every time, it's funny, you know, in 2016, every time Steph Curry played a good game, nobody brought up his injury. Every time he played a bad game, his injury gets brought up. The same thing's happening. Last round, nobody's talking about the injury once he came back. Now he hasn't played great these first two games against Houston. Now all of a sudden the excuses come again. Not that he's making them, but what do you make of that? You know, are you buying that he's not right?
No, I'm not buying it. Here's what I think is the analysis there. The NBA today is all about pick and roll play, right? So defenders are used to having support from a big man or another guard to defend a pick and roll. So they have help a lot. What the Rockets are very good at is they put defenses in isolation a lot. So it really requires defenders, as good as they are, as good as athletes they are, it's unusual in the NBA today where really so much ISO happens. So to guard that, you know, it's more unique now. It's not like the playground style of basketball where you go one-on-one. There's always support in a two-man defensive blitz or a trap or a defensive scheme. So, you know, Steph and Clay, all these guys are really having to go man-on-man-on-man-o. And the Rockets are really good off the dribble. Eric Gordon, even Trevor Ariza did a great job in game two, penetrating kick-outs to P.J. Tucker, James Harden, Chris Paul. So, you know, it's one thing I look at. I think the great thing with the Warriors, they're really good with switching and really throwing traps and different things like that. But a lot of times the Rockets back up their dribble and go one-on-one really in a situation like that, really kind of spreads the offense really in a good position for the Rockets. So I don't look at that. I think it's more about just the defensive situation. They have to be more prepared for what the Rockets do. I mean, obviously with Chris Paul, Harden, even Eric Gordon, you have three of the best penetrators in the game off the dribble. So this is going to be a great series. I mean, everyone's looking at, like, the injury with Curry. It's not like the Rockets were not a surprise number one seed. You know, they have a lot of great offense. They played better defensively. Clint Capela has become one of the best bigs in the league as a roller, as a finisher. I mean, he does a fantastic job controlling the paint. He's the prototypical center now. So overall, it's hard to stop that offense in a throughout a series, not to mention the Warriors' offense is pretty damn good, too. So I think it's going to be a great series, Game 6, Game 7. Both have a lot of fire and octane in what they do offensively. I'm excited. I mean, we're going to see a lot of high-scoring games, I think, in this series.
Do you think it's going to go 6 or 7?
I do. I just think because of how they really match up with the offensive firepower with the Warriors, how well they shoot the ball. Obviously, KD is a mismatch nightmare at 6'10", 6'11". You know, with his wingspan and all that stuff, hitting mid-range jump shots, fadeaways, and then what Steph Curry does, extending the defense out to 28, 26 feet, creates a lot of good spacing. Then the Rocket side with their one-on-one play and how well they pass the ball off penetration. They get to the foul line a lot, so I'm expecting a lot of Warriors players to be in foul trouble in the first half because of Harden, how well he gets to the paint and draws fouls. So, you know, we look at the different intangibles, especially, I mean, it obviously goes back to offense because both teams are just so well-equipped to hit threes and move the ball and things like that. The key is going to be defensively down the stretch in the fourth quarter, what team is going to lock in really well and control the penetration and less foul generation. So we'll see. I'm excited. I think it is going to be a great series just because of the offense that's going to be generated in this series. It's going to be always around 110, 100 whatever, you know, points per game. It's going to be very high. And how do you stop that over seven games? It's very difficult.
We're talking with Jared Zwirling, NBA insider. Jared, who is the best player on the Celtics?
I mean, right now it's Terry Rozier. I mean, he has the heart of that city. You know, Drew Bledsoe, number 12. Kyrie Irving goes down. I know Kyrie's in his head on timeouts, on the team bus, team plane, practices, giving him tips, drills, dribbling moves, combinations, counters, you name it. I mean, it's the point guards league in the NBA today. And especially if you think about ahead of the finals, him against Steph Curry, Terry Rozier has to be the guy to facilitate the offense. And he's doing that in this series, you know, really off penetration, shooting the three ball well. He's intense. He had a big dunk. LeBron was about to block it, but, you know, Rozier threw it down. That was a really great moment in Celtics history, and especially in this year. But, you know, that's what he's doing. He's stepping up. I mean, Marcus Smart's been fantastic, too, off the bench and what he's doing. But really, Rozier, starting for Kyrie Irving, setting the tempo for that team, I give him a lot of credit. Up 2-0 against the Cavs, and he's a big reason why.
You have any confidence or faith that J.R. Smith will get back on track?
I mean, if he hits some crazy half-court shots, it might bring some momentum to the Cavs, right? That's his. Honestly, I feel like he has a better shooting percentage shooting half-court and full-court shots than he does in half-court offense. So if he has some crazy clever shots in this series, he's got to be great as a catch-and-shoot guy. I mean, that's where he is in his career. I mean, he's not going to break you off the dribble. He does some crazy, you know, acrobat shots sometimes, but his thing is catch-and-shoot things, and that's what he did in New York. I covered the Knicks for 4 years for ESPN. I remember the day he arrived in New York after he came back from China after the lockout, his first game against the Mavericks, he went off for like 18 points. He had about 5-6 threes. So that's his bread and butter. And that's really all the guys, Kyle Korver, Kevin Love, you know, Rodney Hood, they have to hit threes off LeBron's, you know, double teams, his penetration. So JR, he's got to be a gamer. We saw it. We've seen it in the past. They won a championship, you know, with JR's help. So that was important. Also, defensively, I think he's underrated as a defender. I think he does a nice job with his size, 6'6". You know, he's got good lateral quickness, and I think he takes those matchups really to heart. He's a competitor. He's a very physical player. At times, he makes some boneheaded plays. You know, he gets a little aggressive, maybe up to a flagrant. But that physicality in the playoffs is important. I think he can help, and hopefully, he keeps his composure in Game 3 with his physicality. But I do think JR does bring you some added value on both ends. He just has to hit his shot. That's really the most important thing. He has to be a really good catch-and-shoot three-point guy.
Jared Zwirling, NBA insider with us. Jared, you talked about pace before. Do you think, even though the Celtics are the younger team, because they're so good defensively, would it benefit the Cavs to play a little quicker, to try to not let Boston settle in defensively?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying before. When the previous question. Yeah, I think pace is very important. I mean, everyone looks at the half-court style of play in the playoffs, you know, really the physicality, the grind out, the 24-second possessions, you know, things like that. But really, a lot of the ways that the Warriors have won championships, again, they have four All-Stars, so sometimes it's a little hard to, you know, not to credit them fully. But they do a great job in transition, making runs, 10-0 runs, 8-0 runs, especially in third quarters. And Cavs, even LeBron has said that they haven't been a good third-quarter team. So those important runs in this series are pivotal, and that's what the NBA has become. I mean, I remember years ago watching the game in the 80s and 90s. It wasn't so much about runs. It was more about like a penetrating, one penetration, you know, to a one kick out, or it was about a post up move. But the game, with its pace now, it comes down to those really important runs, which is really where the game is at. You know, it's a very fast-paced game now with spread offenses. So the third quarter has to be important for the Cavs, I think, in Game 3 and throughout the series, to get those key runs, control the pace, like you said. I mean, also from the start of the first quarter, but they have to do a better job opening halves.
Jared, at the end of the season, LeBron James is a free agent. Do you think he comes back to Cleveland or goes somewhere else?
Man, you know, it's the million-dollar question. I see two sides of the coin. One, I'm sure he's thinking about when he left Cleveland to Miami in 2010, and you saw the burned jerseys, and the image was tarnished a bit. I mean, does he want to go through that again? I'm sure that's on his mind. You know, also staying in Cleveland, you know, leaving a lasting legacy there, not just on the court but off the court in the community. He does an amazing job sending kids to school and all that stuff. So the impact is there. The other side of the coin is, you know, let's say what happens, you lose to the Celtics, or you lose to the Warriors, right? I mean, to me, the real NBA Finals is in the Western Conference right now. I think whoever wins that series will win the championship, because just because they have so much more firepower and star power. LeBron's really on his own. So, you know, if he wants to team up with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, or go to Houston and play with James Harden, Chris Paul, or go to L.A. with Paul George, I mean, he could do it. I mean, it's LeBron James. He's the face of the NBA. He could do whatever he wants. And so at the end of the day, it's not about business endorsements or all that stuff. It's about trying to win championships. He's still 33 years old. He's still got, let's say, 4 or 5 more years of pretty good basketball. So, you know, he's only playing in the NBA for one reason, to win championships. And where's the best place to do that? If he wants to really have the best team around him, he'll leave Cleveland. However, we've seen in the past that LeBron brings talent to him. You know, this was an epic free agency period. It's so rare to see one team get 4 new players. And why? LeBron James. So, at the same time, he can go somewhere else. I mean, we've seen already in the past that LeBron brings the talent to him. So I'm not saying he's going to leave just yet, but I can see him being tempted to go and play with some very young stars around the league, especially in Philly. I think Philly is the one market that everyone's sort of really curious about, because him and Ben Simmons are part of the same agency, Clutch Sports. They have the same agent. They've been very close through the past year, and that's obviously a situation that is very excited for basketball to grow. They went to the playoffs this year, second round. So that's one market you can really see maybe LeBron end up in.
We're talking with Jared Zwirling. Jared, Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio is fascinating. Will they trade him? And if they do, could the Cavs get him? And would that be enough to keep LeBron?
No, I mean, I think the trade is definitely likable. You know, I think I talked to a few sources close to the Spurs, and it was interesting this year because, you know, Kawhi had a very difficult injury. It's one that you can come back. Basically, it's an injury that can come back to haunt you. It's not one that can really be stabilized very well sometimes. So, you know, the way that it worked was behind the scenes. You know, the Spurs had a treatment plan. Kawhi kind of went on his own. There were some differences of opinion about the best treatment plan there. So it did, you know, hurt a little bit of the relationship there. I don't think it's that bad where Kawhi wants to leave. I think him and Popovich are very, very close. But the treatment plan and how it was approached with his injury, there were some two sides of the coin there. So, you know, he'll have options. It really depends on, I think, Popovich. I think he's the main part in this. You know, he lost his wife this year. He's obviously regarded as the best coach maybe in NBA history. So that is a big part in this. Popovich, in this summer, will really have to sit down with Kawhi and really feel him out, try to bring back that relationship. So I'm not saying Kawhi's going to leave just yet, because the one guy that I think that will keep him there will be Popovich, just because he's a really well-respected guy. He's like a father figure to his players. The Spurs are really a tight-knit unit. I think they work out the kinks internally. So it was a tough year for Kawhi. It wasn't just about, you know, the outside noise. It was really an internal fit situation to figure out what the injury was and how to best treat it. There were some differences there, but I do think Popovich does help a lot with his leadership and maybe trying to keep him to stay there.
Jared, speaking of the Spurs, Becky Hammond is getting job interviews, which is really cool, and I hope she eventually gets a job. Do you think she will?
I don't think so just yet. You know, I think, you know, it's interesting because the Milwaukee Bucks job was open and obviously went to Coach Budenholzer. So, you know, right now the Raptors job is open. You know, we'll see what happens there. You know, I think maybe Jerry Stackhouse is interesting, Monty Williams. You know, Jerry Stackhouse was the D League Coach of the Year. Well, now it's a G League, but at the time he was the D League Coach of the Year with the Raptors D League team. So he's somebody to look for. But, you know, right now that's really the only job open right now. So is that going to be in consideration for? I mean, obviously very well respected, went to the Popovich era. All his coaches now are across the league. So that's really an important part with any Popovich, directed coach, is being under his lineage. So yeah, I think it could happen one day, just not right now. There's not a lot of opportunities available for her to apply for. You know, at the time when the season really was over, about 5 weeks ago, there was 3 or 4 jobs open. So it'll come down to the market. And I think, you know, with the Raptors having such a salary cap hold on their talent, you know, with guys under salary for the next 2 years or so, with a lot of star talent, you want a coach that really kind of understands already, I think, having a lot of head coach experience, which he doesn't have just yet. But I think she'll be in consideration.
Jared, let's wrap it up where we started with the Cavs and Celtics. Cavs down 2-0, game 3 tomorrow night. Do the Cavs come back and win the series, or do the Celtics finish them off?
Man, you know, I have this spot going to 6. I think they'll win game 3. I just think the Celtics, I think just with everything they do defensively, the Cavaliers haven't figured it out yet. And I think LeBron will have a fantastic series. I just think the role players will fall a little short to help him out. So I think the Celtics have the most talent overall, and I mean that from the first unit to the second unit. That balance from both the first unit to the second unit is very, very important. So I think they have the edge there.
Jared, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you, man. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Jared. NBA insider Jared Swirling.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.